Hey guys, before we jump into today's show, I want to talk to you about our sponsor, Harry's. Of course, you guys know I'm a Harry's guy. I've been using Harry's for years. Love their blades, love their cartridges, love the fact that it's super easy to just log on, get what you need, comes to the door. You never have to worry about shaving cream or extra razors, stuff like that. You always just have it, and you don't have to buy it at an overpriced drugstore. Right now, we've got a special offer for listeners. You go over to harrys.com/lineup. You're going to go over there. You're going to sign up for their trial, okay? And they're going to give you the trial set for free. All you got to do is pay for shipping. That's the best thing, okay? You're going to be able to try out Harry's for free. They're pretty confident that you're going to love it. They're going to send you the razor handle, the cartridges, the lather gel, the travel kit, everything like that. It all comes together. You're going to love, love, love what you get from Harry's. It's a $13 value for free. Okay, completely free, just for shipping. That's it. Harrys.com/lineup, of course. Harrys.com/lineup. Get over there. Get yourself some Harry's. Get handsome. And support the show while you're at it. What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on into the Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate upcoming on FanDuel. I'm your host, Sean Kane, and we are jumping into a Monday NBA slate. Have a beautiful NBA slate upcoming here. Got some really interesting spots to target here. Of course, Friday night was a whole lot of fun. I hope you had a good Sunday. Not too much Antonio Brown in your lineups, and plenty of Robbie Gould. love me some Robbie Gould. So it was a good Sunday. Football continues to be fun. Tilting, very, very tilting, but fun. As long as you can handle the tilt. You got to stay in. You got to be commit to the tilt to stay in with NFL these days, and that I think is very fun. Hey, before we go too far, of course, I want to mention to you guys patreon.com/lineup. That Lineup Logic, that is where you can subscribe, become a patron, support the show. Various different dollar levels: $3, $5, $10, $15, $3. You can't keep the lights on. It's very useful to us. Josh Fernandez will let you have access to his beautiful, wonderful little Excel spreadsheet that he uses for weighted plus minus player evaluations. $5, again, you get access to the same thing, help keep the lights on for us. $10, you get access to that, plus the cheat sheet and the Slack chat. $15, you get access to Josh Fernandez's sheet, Slack chat, the cheat sheets for NBA, which, by the way, are NBA and NFL right now. But they're going to switch to be exclusive NBA starting January 1, okay? Plus Fantasy 5x5. Fantasy 5x5, the official NBA DFS analytics partner of the podcast. And while we're at it, talking about Patreon.com, want to say a quick shout-out to our newest patrons. A quick thank you to all of our newest patrons, Thomas, Mark, Jim, Shane, welcome aboard, guys. All got in over here the Friday or over the weekend. Welcome. Thank you for supporting the show. Means a lot to me. And thank you. Thank you to those guys, you know, who have been with us for a long time. I really have to say, like, it's unbelievable to feel, you know, the amount of support from guys who have been with us for a really, really long time, you know, and it means a lot to me. And I would list all of you here, but, you know, guys like, you know, KG, Kenny, Scott, James, you know, Cove, like Donald, like all of these guys, you guys, Jesse, like you guys have been here for forever, and I'm missing a ton of you. And I'm sorry, you know, Stefan, like, you know, Bill, Keith, Nathan, you know, and it's no coincidence, Ed, it's no coincidence. These are also the guys, you know, who are always in the Slack chat supporting the show. It, guys, it just means the world to me. because, you know, I try to do this show as well as I possibly can. And your loyalty, just thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And by the way, shout out to the winner of the Lineup Logic 101 Patrons Celebration Free Roll SMG 8855S. Now, like, the thing is that most of the time I know who you guys are. Putting up a monster 344, no big deal. Lineup Logic patrons, we build our own lines. And that's one of the things that everybody prides themselves on, you know, in Lineup Logic. We build our own lines. You know, the majority of people in here, very, very competitive up at the top here. But a monster's 344 for SMG855S. I don't know who that is. Contact me in Slack. You get your December subscription paid for. Well done. That was a heck of a number. I hope you had that in some other places. So congratulations. Your subscription is on me this month. You know, it's just a little thank you to you guys for supporting the show. So let's go ahead, without further ado, let's jump into today's programming. All right, we're going to start with Vegas. We're going to see what Vegas has to say about this slate. Of course, this segment brought to you by Fantasy 5x5, your one-stop shop for NBA DFS analytics. We're going to talk through all of the injuries. We'll talk through the Vegas numbers here, and we'll give you a sense of some interesting spots that you may want to target. First game of the night, 7 p.m. in Charlotte, 206 total here. Hornets, Knicks, and Hornets favored by 6 at home, getting a nice little plus 4.5 boost against the Knicks' poor defense. Specifically, looking at a solid injury boost in the front court for Dwight Howard. We know that no Cody Zeller has kind of made things a little bit more interesting in that front court. But Kemba Walker should be in a good spot, and I know a lot of people will talk about him. Not a great spot necessarily for Kristaps and the other guys in the front court here. This game could be a pretty slow, low pace. These two teams perfectly okay battling it out, you know, in the paint. Going over to Indiana, another 206 total here, but the Celtics favored by 2 on the road as they visit the Pacers. You know, as far as pace goes, this is a nice spot for the Celtics. You know, definitely should be a competitive game. I think that the one guy you really want to consider here are the centers, Al Horford and Aaron Baines. They're going to get a nice boost in this situation. Be careful, Pacers on a back-to-back, so you're going to have the you know, the Pacers, one of the nice tools on Fantasy 5x5 is the cautionary back-to-back situation. So they have all the Pacers on alert for back-to-back. It hurts Miles Turner the most. He's struggled on back-to-back. So, and Kyrie done very well on the road for this team. So something to keep in mind. But, of course, positionally, the biggest boost goes to Al Horford inside the paint. Miami visiting Atlanta, just a 201 total here, 202 total here in this one. Miami favored by 3 on the road, not a great spot. Neither team playing phenomenally well, but if I'm going anywhere here in this situation, I'm definitely going to Miami. You know, they seem to be in a little bit of a nicer spot, but Atlanta coming off of a really nice spell of rest, 2+ days that they have been resting, so should be a good spot to get after if you want to get after some contrarian plays on that Atlanta roster. You know, okay, I could see that. Maybe the shooting guard position, maybe some Kent Bazemore in this one against Deion Waiters' defense. That makes sense to me. But I'm also interested in the wings. Josh Richardson emerging as an interesting scorer for the Miami Heat. You know, kind of taking control as they've thinned out the front court a little bit with James Johnson out and Hassan Whiteside out. Josh Richardson has taken on an increased usage rate and been very, very effective in the last couple games. So he's an interesting character in this game. 76ers at the Bulls. This one is a 210.5 total. And the 76ers are favored by 2, but they're projecting this game to be relatively slow. Both teams underneath their normal scoring averages in this projection. So not exactly the juiciest game in the world, but we do have to consider the fact that JoJo is going to sit. Now, JoJo going to sit. That is obviously going to put a big boost for Ben Simmons in that split without him out there. Looking at the trying to find that. He has, Rashawn Holmes actually is the biggest beneficiary, the biggest boost. He has averaged 22 with Joel out. So it should be a good spot for Rashawn Holmes in this one. But we also have Trevor Booker out, which is a good split for Ben Simmons with Trevor Booker and with both Trevor Booker and Joel Embiid out of this game, you're going to have to look at Ben Simmons, no doubt about it. He's going to probably play, and Dario Saric for that matter. You're going to see some big minutes for some of these guys. So you're going to want to attack the 76ers front court, get some of that value. On the Bulls side, it'll be interesting to see what Lauri Markkanen does. He's been a game time decision. He hasn't been playing because of that back and because, frankly, Portis and Mirotić are playing so well. So I'm interested to see how they're going to do this. Now, the one thing I will say I noticed about the Bulls' rotation on Friday was Robin Lopez did not finish the game. He played 28 minutes, and he has kind of, you know, the starter in name, played in the first half. But down the stretch, they had Portis at 5 and Mirotić at the 4, or kind of, you know, vice versa. That small ball lineup is very interesting, and I think without Joel Embiid, they probably can run it here. So I think you're going to probably see some different and interesting lineups where you probably at all times have Markkanen, Mirotić, or Portis on the floor as that stretch guy. So I'll be interested to see how that works, and you're probably going to see some lineups where you have at least two of them on the floor at once. But I think Portis probably goes into the backup center role is mostly what I'm expecting here. But I'll be interested to see how they stagger these guys in this game. If they can find at least 28 minutes for all three of them, I think that that's the right way to make sure and make sure somebody's on the court at all times, because you just have such nice length with all of them. Nuggets at the Thunder. 210 total here. Seems a little bit low for me, but of course, we know how good the Thunder's defense has been. They are getting a nice boost here because of the Nuggets' poor defense, favored by 4.5 at home. You know, Jokic is back. So very interesting to see what what this Denver team is going to do once Jokic resumes normal minutes. We haven't seen him in a couple weeks, and of course, you know, we saw such a small sample size without Millsap, and then Millsap goes down, and then Jokic goes down. And so we're going to have to try to kind of see how the usage shakes out for all of these guys without, you know, any of these clowns in. So there's going to be an adjustment period. So I'm going to kind of tread cautiously with my Denver exposure. Of course, Paul George is one guy that I think is going to benefit here. Steven Adams still doubtful with the concussion. He had a really nice game and has had some nice games with Steven Adams out. I like this spot for PG. I think it's going to be a good one. So we'll talk a little bit more about that game and some of the options that you have there. It certainly should be a high scoring game, and we know the Thunder, I mean, they just can't afford to miss any opportunities for wins here. The Jazz are going to Houston here. This one is a 214 total, but the Jazz are thin right now. They are. Derek Favors out with a concussion after getting that eye injury in the Boston game. Of course, we have an MCL for Rudy Gobert. Ekpe Udoh, baby, slides in and just smashed in that Cleveland game. And this is, you know, it's interesting. I have heard some NBA podcasts talk about Udoh and his role. You know, he was drafted as like very similar profile to Gobert, European center, played in Europe, massive, massive individual, athletic, long rim protector, but he was way more raw than Gobert. And so the Jazz, I believe they just kind of let him play over in Europe for the last couple of years, but they had him on retainer, and they decided, I think wisely this year, to bring him over to the States, knowing that, you know, Rudy had been struggling with some injuries and that there might be a need for him to have, you know, a sort of a Gobert clone. And so physically, he's very, very similar profile. Like, he doesn't really miss a beat. He played phenomenally well in that Cavaliers game. And that makes good sense. The Cavaliers allow a ton of scoring inside the paint to the front court. You know, it makes a lot of good sense that somebody with that much size, especially against a small ball lineup, would succeed there. I mean, they are literally fourth in most points allowed. So it makes sense that he would succeed in that situation. Houston is not quite the same. Cavaliers are fourth most, you know, they rank 27th overall. That's the fourth most in points allowed to the front court. Houston's dead middle of the pack. They're right there in the middle, so not quite as good of a spot for Udo. But if Clint Capela is out, you certainly have some interesting, and it looks like Capela is probably going to be out. He was out last with the heel. So unless we see anything different, I think we have to consider that this is going to be an interesting spot to go back to Udo. Now, I'm not going to say you're going to expect 50 points, but we saw what he's capable of. I think that's very interesting. And, of course, the usage bumps that we see for guys like Donovan Mitchell and Joe Ingles, very interesting with, you know, without any of those centers in the game. You know, so certainly some things to consider, but you got to think the Rockets run away with this with the way that they're playing right now. Portland at Minnesota. This one is a 205 total. This is really going to be an interesting spot. I think this is a great one. I think this is a high-scoring affair. I think this one possibly hits the over, primarily because Minnesota's defense is bad. And if you let Portland score, they can struggle to score. But if you let them score, they will. And Nurkic is back. Nurkic is going to have, probably 28 minutes. He was limited to 25 in his last two games. He played through those 25 minutes. We haven't seen any restrictions or any setbacks for him. So he should be back. He just isn't getting more than 30 minutes, and it's part of Stotts' ability to rotate his front court with such ease. He just has so many guys, at Davis, Al-Farouq Aminu, all those guys, they play backup minutes, so they don't really do too much. They don't lean too much on Nurk in this situation. They do lean on Dame Lillard and McCollum, and I'm very interested in that. No injuries really to consider in this one. Some rotation issues. Mo Harkless isn't playing, and Evan Turner is pretty much the only guy playing at the three, and it's because Mo Harkless can't fucking score. in Dallas, Phoenix, and the Mavs, we have a 208 total here, and the Mavs favored by 6 at home. It's a good spot for them, no doubt. We have seen, you know, the Suns' rotation is just, man, it is rough without Devin Booker. You know, very hard to project who's going to get the point guard minutes, the 30 minutes, anywhere from 30 to 18 minutes. You know, Josh Jackson was getting 30 minutes, and then they dropped him down to about 20 minutes. And then it was, you know, and now it is guys like, Dragan Bender has been getting a ton of run. Marquese Chris not getting any more run. Troy Daniels is getting extra minutes now. It's really, really hard to predict who's going to get run in this. What you want to keep your eye on is, I think the center rotations are interesting. Alex Len has been getting a decent amount of minutes when Greg Monroe doesn't play. They kind of have actually an actual formal rotation of who plays when, where, you know, that kind of thing. So if there's any sort of DNPs or any sort of like rest situations for the centers, then you can kind of project that. But like TJ Warren's really the only guy you trust, and he has not been able to do much just because the rest of this offense has been so damn limited. So not a great spot against a decent, you know, Dallas defense. But the Dallas side of things, very interesting. Certainly have some interest in the Dallas side of this situation. Clippers at the Spurs. This one is a 201 total here. Spurs favored by 10 just about at home here. Clippers implied for 95 to the Spurs 106. Kawhi should play here. LaMarcus should play here. And, you know, we have a banged up Clippers team that's just been on a road trip. And I'm not bullish on the Clippers in the end of this road trip against the Spurs. I think this is the one. I think this could be the one where we see this team kind of really fall apart. Like, have they, you know, they did okay. They held their own. Orlando was great. the Washington game, they held their own. The Miami game was pretty boring. And they only put up, they're putting up decreasing numbers as this trip wanes on, right? 106, 91, 85. And now they get the best defensive opponent that they have here in the Spurs before they actually get to go back home to LA. So not my favorite spot for any Clippers or Spurs, especially considering how hard it is to project these guys. The one person I have some interest in is LaMarcus Aldridge, just because he's been so damn good. And he'll actually play a little bit more center than Pau Gasol. And I don't really like playing Pau Gasol, even though he's kind of been... I can't play Pau Gasol. I'm not playing Pau Gasol. I'm not doing that. Warriors at the Lakers. 218 total in this one. This one is going to be... this one will be good. But very similar to the rotations. By the way, injuries in this... Oh, no, sorry. I talk about the rotations before I talk about the injuries. That's wrong. Steph out, Draymond out, Zaza out. Okay, so the Golden State rotations have been really interesting. And the whole world is going to go Kevin Durant and Jordan Bell. Yes, you're right, Kevin Durant and Jordan Bell. Well, let's be careful, okay? So let's look at the point guard situation. It's been McCaw. It's been Livingston over 20 minutes every time. Quinn Cook, not so much. Okay, Quinn Cook, not so much. He's fading out. So McCaw and Livingston are where you want to go if you want to tackle any of those point guards. But they are strictly GPP because they're really not using the ball very much. At the power forward, Iggy is really playing the four alongside KD in a lot of lineups. And so I think his usage is not really there. Okay. He is kind of not, I just don't see him necessarily taking a lot of shots, even though he's been getting us nice solid 30 minutes. So you're really relying on the rebounding, the steals, the blocks in this situation. That's not bad. You don't mind it, but you don't want to necessarily rely on just five attempts per game. Omri Caspi, on the other hand, over 25 in his last two games, did quite a bit of scoring, and he offers some of the more interior upside. He really isn't a small forward. He's more of a four. He does a lot of scoring in the paint. So I'm interested in Omri Caspi as an interesting pivot play. And of course, Jordan Bell has been phenomenal, but his minutes are not exactly the best. He actually is 24 and 25 in his last two in replacement of Draymond. And so, you know, 25 minutes is great, but if he could, there's a scenario in which Jordan Bell is kind of a bust. The one guy who backs him up with about 20 minutes, 15 to 20 minutes per game, is David West. And offensively, David West is one of the best. He is, if not the best, offensive bench player in the NBA. I mean, if he could do 20 plus minutes a game, he could get like a six man of the year type award. So he will play. Nick Young, Swaggles will be back. He's been out. He should get about 15 minutes here. So if you ever want to get some Nick Young in your life just for funsies, I think this is the spot. But Omri Caspi is David West, I think, are the sneaky ways to go in this lineup as pivots over Iguodala and Bell. And it doesn't necessarily mean that I believe they're going to outscore them. I think that they're just interesting pivots and they would benefit from a bust in that situation. And I don't think that they're bad plays in and of themselves. Specifically, Caspi, his scoring ability has just been phenomenal. And he scores a ton of points in the paint, and that's what you want against the Lakers. So he has been super reliable. Kerr clearly likes him. Without Draymond on the floor, he offers a little bit of size. He can handle over 25 minutes. So I'm interested in Caspi as one of the pieces of value that I'm going to attack in this lineup. Anyway, okay, we're still talking about the Vegas. That's it, though, okay? So, by the way, KCP, he's allowed to play in Los Angeles. He just has to wear the house arrest bracelet on his foot. So you're going to see his... he's going to be wearing those Nike house arrests tonight. Have you guys seen those shoes? Just Google that real quick, the Nike house arrest. It's a super high top that will... that actually gets your battery... It gets your... has battery built into it, and it'll get your bracelet built into the shoe so that you can't feel it in your motion. It's pretty nice. It's pretty nice. So it's great for guys who play a lot in their driveway, but also KCP, who's not allowed to leave the state of California. Man, that's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. Come on, KCP. Like, get your stuff together, man. Like, what's going on with that, dude? But Twitter was on fire with the KCP house arrest jokes. All right, that's enough. That was rude of me. He's a good ball player. He's interesting tonight too. Let's talk about this slate. Let's go through the player breakdown. Who do you love? All right, you guys know how this works, and I know I've taken a little bit of time talking a lot about these injuries and these values here. So I'm gonna try to get through this this player breakdown in 30 minutes. How's that? We're gonna start at the top of the slate. We're gonna talk a little bit about the studs that we like, guys who are above 10K. And that means we got to start with Russell Westbrook here in this one. Westy getting the Nuggets in this situation should be a really, really, really nice spot. We've been attacking the Nuggets at the at the point guard position every single time, no doubt about it. 37 minutes on average here for Russy. Over 35% usage. He's got a plus matchup. Denver ranks 26th in DVP to the point guard. And he's been dominating the ball, man, taking a ton of shots. Ton of shots here. Point guards against the Nuggets is a plus 2.5 DVP boost, according to Fantasy 5x5. And they're one of 10 teams, interestingly enough, that allows 2+ steals to the position on a nightly basis, which that I like. That creates a little bit of peripheral upside that says to me, okay, maybe Russ can get us over 60 tonight. That's where you want him. That's how I want him to be. He's at home. That's great. I love that. And I think this should be a more high scoring affair. And we've seen Russ play some great games against Denver in the past. Couple other names though at the top here, and I'm not going to talk about them in the grout section. CP3 gets a massive usage bump if Capella is out. A lot of scoring there for him, even in a bad matchup against Utah. I mean, he's still slightly underpriced for how well he's been producing here. You're going to have to start to think of him as a stud. And he's going to be 10K shortly, so get ready to start playing him as that, because the production has been unbelievable. Damian Lillard, too, I like him in this spot. His price dropped a little bit. Bad Minnesota defense. $8,700 is a really interesting price for Dame. I have no issue with that. So those are two other stud point guards, but I think Russ is an interesting spot to build around, because you're probably not going to James Harden, and he is your student guard. Yeah, James Harden, student guard for your Houston Rockets. Let's go, Rockets. Okay, that's enough fake German announcer here, NBA announcer. But yeah, Harden against the Rocket, the Jazz is partially, mostly, I actually do think that this is a blowout. They don't have a lot of elite scoring. You're going to see, you know, Donovan Mitchell really, really push himself. And you have a situation where Thabo Sefolosha is going to play annoyingly good defense on Harden in this spot. So you combine the fact that they're not going to have to do much to get out in front. They're not going to have to do, he's not going to do a ton, force it against Sefolosha. It feels like a 4X night. Like, it feels like he can get away with going for 48, 50, and they win anyway, and it's fine. A low impact night, you know, they just play smart. You know, Gobert to Udo thing, I think some people kind of overemphasize that. I mean, listen, Udo is actually, Gobert this year hasn't really been that much of a defensive difference as far as this year. You know, he's a phenomenal defender, but he hasn't had the minutes to rack up really like a sizable impact. Because remember, I mean, he's just been injured on and off and on and off. It's really only a plus one difference in defensive efficiency. So Udo has actually had a higher defensive efficiency. Now, that's partially because he's playing against bench units, and as he plays more starters minutes, that's going to iron out a little bit. But he's been good, and he's very similar. So you don't think really necessarily overthink that. But I will say, it's hard to project where he's going to land. My guess is he's going to land in like the high 40s, low 50s. But I could be completely wrong, because one time he hit this team up for 76. The next time, though, he went for 39. The difference is that if he has Chris Paul there and they don't have to do as much. I mean, this is the thing. You remember, he comes off the floor and Chris Paul takes over the offense. So you have one all-star handing the ball to another all-star, and it just, it's insane. Like, I remember in June, or, you know, over the summer, people were like, this isn't going to work. This is stupid. It was like, that is the hottest of hot takes in the world. The dumbest thing I've ever heard. Two all-stars makes you better. Ask the Warriors. Like, and D'Antoni has been playing them phenomenally well. The staggered rotation is just unbelievable. Always one of them is on the floor. Always. That is so dangerous. It's like, oh, thank God, the bench unit's going to come out. Maybe we won't have to do as much score. Oh, my God, it's Chris Paul. You know? It's like, well, geez, maybe we won't get so many threes and assisted field goal. Oh, my God, the pick and roll continues. You know, it's just, so I don't know how much Harden has to do in this situation. I want Harden in a situation when he doesn't have, when he has to constantly be in the game and push himself. I don't know if that's the case here, but I think he's an ideal GPP play, because I bet a lot of people will feel that way and his ownership will be depressed. And if Utah stays in it, he has to stay in it. So that's where I'm playing Harden is in your tournament lineups as a pivot off of the Uber chalk, which is Kevin Durant versus the Lakers. Fade at your own risk. He's 12K, but fade at your own risk. Massive ownership, massive usage, huge pace, big total. You know, great game here. He's coming off a rest. I believe they're finally back home in Golden State. He's averaged 57 in his last five, 23 attempts, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, and over 30 points. Give me a fucking break. What? Over 30, 10, and 7? This is like super LeBron. Which, by the way, if you've ever wondered why people gush about LeBron, just remember, he averages 28, 8, and 8. And all of a sudden, we're gushing about KD, and he's averaging 30, 10, and 7. It's 2 points less than LeBron, who does it every night. He's 33. I'm 33. I can barely run a 5K. Fucking unbelievable. Ben Simmons versus Chicago. Love this spot. No Embiid. Mediocre team defense in Chicago, should be able to get what he wants. You think about the individual defenders, it's probably going to be David Nwaba, who's been good. I mean, he's been actually useful. The combination of having some guys who are kind of 3 and D there, Denzel Valentine and David Nwaba, who actually can't shoot the three, but they're athletic and they're strong. You know, he's averaged 1.2 fantasy points per minute without Embiid here. You love the amount of assisted field goals the Bulls allow. They allow a lot of assists. It's one of the things that they suck at. So, you know, high assisted field goal rate. You try to find those little margins for Simmons here, because you need those little margins for Simmons. He needs the peripherals. You need the steals. You need the assists for Benny Ben, because he doesn't shoot the three. He doesn't shoot, period. So I like this spot for him. I think he's going to be able to do some scoring. I don't think it's an intimidating matchup. And four of the last five, he's had multiple assists. So I think Simmons is in a good spot. If you can fit him in there, fit him in there. Now, especially because people are going to be paying down at power forward, it's a good spot. It's a good night to play down at power forward. Moving on, because there's no centers that I want to pay for. There just really isn't anybody that I'm like in love with from a you know, a high price position. You don't have any boogies. You don't. I mean, Cat is interesting, but Portland actually has very good front court defense, and I worry that this is a game where Cat kind of gets, you know, phased out. He's been phenomenal, but I mean, you have four back-to-back-to-back really good center matchups: Dallas, Philadelphia, Sacramento, and Phoenix. Like, those are all very good matchups for a highly talented center, and this is not necessarily one of them. I mean, When he has a mediocre matchup, he can be really mediocre. So this isn't really a spot where I'm going after Cat. And JoJo is out, which makes me sad. Although I was not very happy with Joe. Although I guess Russ deserved it. But I was like, come on, man. You're going to make fun of Russ's efficiency? Fine. Make fun of Russ's efficiency. But like, I don't really like him picking fights with everybody. Like, my favorite Joel Embiid is the Joel Embiid that made DeMarcus Cousins laugh. That's my Joel Embiid. That's the guy. Like, if you are softening the hearts of Boogie Cousins while he was on the Kings, that's the JoJo that I want. I don't want necessarily the making fun of Russell Westbrook Joel Embiid. Like, he has an MVP. You can't play back-to-backs. Like, let's watch our step, big fella. Watch your step, big fella. Okay? Because, you know, you're one back injury away from being completely irrelevant. Like, I love you, man. But, like, you, the mouth is big. The mouth is big with this one. All right, Chris Dunn versus the 76ers. I just, you know, man is a killer. 76ers run a plus pace. That is a great thing for Chris Dunn. Huge. You love him in an open court situation. Steals plus buckets, that is where you want him to be. They allow above average scoring to the position and in backcourts in general. I don't think he will get Ben Simmons. I think he'll probably get the rotation guards, like, you know, a Redick and stuff like that. He's averaged 39 over the last five. He's gone over 40 in three of those games. His price is priced like who knows what he's going to do. You know, he's priced to go over 35 here. But, and that's great. He could go over 40, which you love. I'm interested to see how his production changes with, like, Mirotić and Markkanen. I worry that his usage rate isn't going to be as much, but at the same time, he's one of the most consistent source of minutes. You know, don't be fooled by the Milwaukee game minutes. He's in foul trouble in that game, and he fouled out. He was in foul trouble the whole time, so he fouled out at the end of it. So, not something to be concerned of. He's not getting he's not getting taken out of the rotation. He'll play as long as he can stay out of foul trouble here. I think a lot of people will go to Kemba Walker too. And Kemba Walker in this spot isn't a phenomenal. He's at home, which we love Kemba at home. He's playing New York. Their point guard defense has been terrible. You know, they've allowed over 36 fantasy points to the position in the last 10. That's exactly where you expect Kemba to be. That 36 number is phenomenal. Massive performances, over 40 to Lonzo, Dinwiddie, Darren Collison, you know, all of those guys. So you definitely see a script here where Kemba gets you over 40. And for the last five, he's been over 35 fantasy points, relatively tough opponents. You know, some tough sledding for the Hornets, who just, yikes. I mean, they've been rough in the last couple games, guys. Like, they have been rough. You know, and he's had some difficult spots, but plus, you know, he had a plus matchup against Orlando. He's been at home he's been on a nice home stretch here. He took 2 days off. They had the 17th off. Oh, didn't take 2 days off. But he's playing upwards of almost 40 minutes. He's playing like 33 to 40 minutes on a 37 minutes on a nightly basis. And he shot really poorly in that Portland game and still was able to turn in a decent performance. This is kind of a, like, you know, I don't think he's very happy with the way things are going. But he took 22 and 26 shots. He's not been very efficient, but he's kind of been like, well, if no one else can fucking score on this team, I'm going to score. And I love that version of Kemba Walker. Like, I'm in. Give me all the Kemba, because if he decides one night he's going to shoot 45% from the arc, it's over. Like, you better have him, because he's going to have 50 points. He does this sometimes. Like, if he hits the three, he can go off. You guys remember that Detroit game last year? He had 70 because he shot 60% from the arc. He went like 6 for 8 from the 3-point line. He had like 40 points. And he had 35 against this team in November. I mean, that's his number, right? He's a 35-point guy. Do you want to pay $8,000 for that guy and hope that he gets you a ceiling game? Or do you just say, you know what? No, it doesn't really fit my process tonight. 35, I can get that from somebody else. But that's where you project him, which is a really, really secure floor. It's just not a lot of ceiling. So I think you can feel comfortable with him on this slate. But if you want to fit in Russ, then you're not playing him. You're not going to play him alongside Russ. That's not going to work. But I think if you're going with a single stud approach, just KD in your lineup, then I think you can fit him in. In fact, I have fit him in. Klay Thompson versus the Lakers. Let's move on to the shooting guard. I don't know. Like, if Klay ever had a shoe, which, by the way, he has a shoe deal with some terrible off-brand company, which is the most Klay Thompson thing ever. You know, you get the front man for Under Armour and Nike on your team, and he's like, well, I'm the front man for Anta. Oh my, what? Klay, like, just sign with somebody else. Like, why? What are you doing? It's weird. He's just kind of the weird other brother to me. I don't know. I'm interested on people's Klay takes. He kind of, he's always been funny to me. But his shoe, if he had a shoe, it should be called the Nike Moderation. Because he refuses to take too many shots. Like, I will only take a moderate amount of attempts that are scripted for me in a game plan. If it's not a good shot, I won't take it. We appreciate your moderation, Klay. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be too aggressive. Don't do anything interesting beyond just try to be super duper efficient. I mean, it's ridiculous. He went 10 of 18 from the field, 5 for 5 from the arc. If I told you that the guy you rostered shot 100% from 3, you'd be like, "Oh shit. He probably scored like 40 or 50 fantasy points." Nope, Klay had 29. What? How is this possible? Like, he just isn't doing anything at the free throw line. He's not doing anything in the paint as far as, you know, getting in the mix, getting rebounds or assists. Like, but he has a plus 13 net rating. These are some great Klay stats. A 113 offensive rating, a true shooting of 62%. I don't think you understand how amazing that is. Just to be clear, DeAndre Jordan and like Dwight Howard are like leaders in true shooting. Why? Because they only dunk the ball. That is how you get a really, really good true shooting rate or effective field goal percentage. He has been insane at this, okay? This is also, by the way, here, you ready for this, though? He is the fourth among all Warriors with offensive rating. The whole damn list on net rating and offensive rating is just Warriors and Rockets. It's like KD, Steph, James Harden, Eric Gordon, Trevor Ariza. You know, and it's just Rockets and Warriors, like everybody on the offensive rating and net rating leaderboards on NBA.com. Klay and Korver, the only two shooters who are on the leaderboard outside who are not centers who lead the league in effective field goal percentage. Just respect the man's shot. He can shoot, and he's getting the Lakers, KCP, you know. Maybe not as effective defensively with an ankle brace. I'm kidding. But KCP is a good individual defender, but I do know, I mean, Klay will get his shots. He's a good cash game play. There's going to be a game where he scores 40 and he's just too hot to handle. He just hasn't been doing it. He just hasn't done any peripheral stuff. Like, I don't know if Kerr is just like, yeah, I don't want you to get in the mix there. You know, you're very fragile. You have very sensitive hands. Like, don't try to steal the ball. He hasn't done any of that stuff. He's not playing aggressively. I don't know what his deal is. Except for the shot. The shot is just insane. So effective. Donovan Mitchell, though, he's been interesting, man. This guy has a wild range of outcomes. 24 to 50 points in his last five. Like, anywhere between there, I can't tell you where he's going to be, but, like, this guy has a ceiling and he has a gigantic floor. Like, in a gigantic, terrifying, holy floor. He scored anywhere between 12 and 32 points in his last five games. He's also had anywhere from 9 assists to just 1. So if consistency is not a thing for Donnie Mitch, explosion games are. I mean, he gets hot and he gets rolling. And he finds what he likes and guys letting him get to his spot. Then yeah, that happens. The minutes and usage are consistent though. Okay. So above 32 minutes in the last game, just near 30% usage, in the last like 27 to anywhere between 27 and 30% usage rate. So that's nice. Had a really nice game in Houston. Last time out, it was 37 fantasy points. The question is the price tag. I mean, you're asking him to get 37 fantasy points again. You have a ceiling guy, but a very, very volatile floor. So you're paying for a ceiling, but you're getting a very volatile floor. You're paying for a guy who you want him to get 37, but he could very easily get you 20. Or he could get you 50. He doesn't have that tight range of outcomes. You're paying for the ceiling, but you're not getting a tight range of outcomes. You're getting a very, very kind of broad range of outcomes. So if you want to go to a guy who has a tight range of outcomes, go to CJ McCollum. McCollum, cheaper than both Clay and Donovan Mitchell, which is kind of nice, but has kind of the same profile as Clay, really. I mean, you're not getting the ceiling with McCollum unless, you know, the ceiling for McCollum is 40 points. Like, let's be very clear about this. He's averaged 32, though, in his last five in one of those games. Most of those games were about 29, 30 fantasy points, and one of them was for 40. And that's kind of what he does. It's like every five, he'll have like one 40-point game, which is kind of nice if you catch those. But you could also just get the 28-pointers, which you're not going to have the floor. You're not paying, though, for, you know, you're not getting the ceiling that Donovan Mitchell has, but you're also not going to have a total bust. The nice thing is that he's got a nice matchup in Minnesota on the wing. That's where we want to attack. The one question that I have, you know, mediocre team defense. The question that I have is, do you think that Jimmy will guard him and then they'll hide Wiggins on Evan Turner? That's interesting to me. I don't know if it will happen. If they want to keep Jimmy closer to the rim, that might be the case. I'm not really sure, but of course McCollum could have a nice game here. I think he's still in play for, you know, a solid. The only thing Jimmy does to me in this spot is really limit his ceiling, because I still think McCollum, in a lot of situations, you know, he's taking his shots off the screen. He's not in ISO necessarily as much as Damian Lillard is in ISO. So, which is, by the way, why you like Damian Lillard here, because ISO against Jeff Teague is not a thing that I'm scared of, especially with Damian Lillard. At small forward, I think it's Paul George against Denver. Actually, playing wings against the Nuggets has not been a great trade from the DVP perspective. But listen, I mean, anybody who can score against the Nuggets is a good trend, right? I mean, if you have a high-scoring player against a mediocre defense that runs a pretty serious pace, yeah, okay. Now, the nice thing is, too, no Steven Adams. He takes up a lot of those attempts. Steven Adams was taking 10 attempts per game. He was getting free throws. Getting rebounds. Paul George takes a lot of those attempts on. They're not going to give them to Dakari Johnson. Come on, man, fuck off. We're not giving you Dakari, give me the ball back. Come on. You know, no. Let's give him a Paul George. He takes extra attempts. He gets to the rim a little bit more. He came out of that scoring slump instantly against the Knicks. And you watched this trend happen, by the way. If you were paying attention to the numbers, for example, the Steven Adams attempts per game, like I do, you saw them jump. And when you see them jump and hold like that, you know that all of a sudden the offense realizes that they have something here that they weren't exploiting earlier. And that is a thing. Like, when an offensive team realizes, like, oh, we need to go to him more. Like, let's run that set. That keeps working. Like, let's keep going back to it. That's what they realized they had with Adams. And that's why he was playing so well. And, you know, they keep drawing those things up because those guys are like, this is working. Let's go back to it. And it comes at the cost of Paul George's opportunities, but now Adams is out, so Paul George gets those opportunities back. You know, the Knicks are 24th, the Knicks are actually like 16th in defensive efficiency. Denver's 24th, so that's good. I mean, you know, he had 36 against them once earlier this year. That's really, really nice. Jaylen Brown just balled out on them, which kind of is an indicator of the fact that maybe their DVP ranks aren't necessarily actually indicative of the of anything beyond the fact that they haven't really played a lot of quality talent, you know. And you're paying 8,100. I liked him better when he was 7'6". But I could do it. It's still Paul George. And the last couple games have been phenomenal. 38 and 41, you know, 38 with triple overtime is not the best number, but you know, Steven Adams played that whole time. So you have 41 against this New York team where Steven Adams didn't play and ultimately they lost. That seems about right. This 18-9-4 line seems about right with a block and a steal. Like that's where I'm at with Paul George. So the other guy that you could go to is Harrison Barnes. And Harry has been, you know, not quite as consistent lately, But talk about a guy who has a floor. Like, you're paying for almost a 30-point floor. What I really like is he actually has been playing the four a lot. And fours have destroyed this team. You know, like, and TJ Warren, like, TJ Warren is great as an individual defender, but, like, you know, he isn't really that influential when he's surrounded by a rookie and a bunch of guys who should be playing in Europe or the G League. Like, right? You know, I mean, the fours against the team have been phenomenal, and so you have a great situation with Harry Barnes here. 7,100, not the best price, especially for a guy who hasn't gone over 30 fantasy points. They've only gone over 30 fantasy points in the last couple. But when he has the opportunity to score more than 20, that's when you want him. And that's when he really pops from a fantasy perspective. You need those games where he's going to score more than 20 points. He can offer up the assists, the rebound upside there in this situation as well. We know this is a bad rebounding team. So I don't have an issue with Harrison Barnes here. I think that you're paying for pretty serious security of more than 4x here. You know, you are paying for a guy who will not bust. So that's a good situation. I think it's 30 points is basically exactly what's going to happen with Harrison Barnes in this situation. And if you're saying, well, I know that could happen with Paul George too, I would like to save $1,000, then you go to Harrison Barnes. You know, that makes a lot of good sense to me. There are other guys though that can get 30 tonight, no doubt about it. Power forward, here's some interesting spots. I do like LaMarcus Aldridge. I'm not going to lie. Like, I think this is a good spot for him. I have no problem with him at 8,400. He has been very, very consistent and very, very good. He struggled in the Houston game, but that was not necessarily a struggle as much as it was a function of the minutes. He didn't get the minutes because they were projecting the back-to-back against Dallas. So he limits his minutes up front. He's not going to get the minutes restriction. He'll probably get 34 minutes tonight. And you like attacking the Clippers in the interior. I think that they're going to struggle in a major way here, and I think that Aldridge could be that reason. I mean, we saw Vooch have a nice game against them, and I have, you know, the interior defense of this team just is not, they don't care right now. They really don't. You know, the problem that you have with playing a guy like Aldridge is that there's a lot of value in other places. There's good value at the power forward position, and so I think maybe it's a DraftKings utility type play. If it's like, you know, you fit him in as a low-owned play that not a lot of other people fit into their lineups. That would be kind of maybe how I try to fit him in there. Dario Saric, though, I like this spot for him. Nico, I can't play him if Markkanen is back and he's 7K. Like, I love the way he's playing, but I'm not playing him if Markkanen is back and he's 7K and I don't know what his minutes are going to look like. Like, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait and see how it shakes. You know, I'm okay waiting one game on Nikola Mirotic, you know. I am interested in Dario, though. I mean, talk about a guy who's been very, very consistent lately. No JoJo out there. He's going to get a nice bump for usage, plus 4% usage bump there. He's third in usage on the team behind Covington and Simmons when Embiid is not out there. 0.87 fantasy points per minute. Very good. He's been very consistent. 31 fantasy points in the last five, over 30 minutes. And he hasn't dipped below, you know, 22 points was the worst game that he had in the last 10. Hasn't dipped below there. Now, that's not a great number, but even if he goes for 22 at 6.5 at that salary, he's over 3X. And so you're kind of saying, okay, well, there's a very clear floor here. And in his last 10, or excuse me, in his last five, he hasn't gone below 28 fantasy points. So you have a very, very clear floor. You're asking from a guy at 6,500, you're asking him for 32. That's not a crazy number. He's a solid cash game play if you can fit him in. Chicago, very average matchup. You know, middle of the pack and all the, you know, major statistics, rebounds allowed to the front court, scoring allowed in the front court, that kind of stuff. So the nice thing is that, you know, Philadelphia is rested and, you know, they haven't played since that Friday double overtime game. So you have an opportunity with, you know, Saric to bounce back here, fresh legs. He should be okay in this one against the Bulls. And I think this is a good spot for him. You know, I think this is a good spot for him to play well. He had a couple really good games last year against Chicago, but that the rotation of the team has changed so much, it's hard to see that as useful. I also really love, we're talking about centers. I'm trying to see if we forgot anybody here. We haven't really forgot anybody. Maybe Jason Tatum. Talk about wide range of outcomes. He's a lot like, you know, did he have a game against Memphis? Memphis's defense is terrible, by the way, guys. I don't know if you guys know that. They're not playing good defense right now. It's not good anymore. That team has quit. I think you could... Oh, I know who I was going to say. I'm very interested in the Lakers guys. Like Kyle Kuzma, Larry Nance, and Julius Randle. Like, if you can figure out who's going to do what on a nightly basis... You are going to be a rich man. But Larry Nance has been still getting good minutes off the bench. He's the cheapest. But Kuz is running the primary minutes now, and he's still very, very relatively, not very, very inexpensive, but relatively inexpensive. And Randle has been one of the more projectable value type plays, you know, flirting with 30 on a nightly basis. And he had a really nice game against Golden State last time out with 30 plus minutes because, you know, he fits their small ball lineups. He fits that matchup. So I don't mind those guys in there as well. I don't mind that range. If one of them falls to you, I think you could definitely do it. We have some value guys to talk about too. Anyway, sorry, let's talk about center. I want to talk about Al Horford in this one. I love Al here. I think it's a great spot. 7,600 versus Indiana. There's no better spot to attack Indiana than in the paint. Horford's coming off the rest. Indy's coming off the back-to-back. I love this spot for him. 32 points he's averaged in the last five. He had 44 against this team earlier. 21 points. That's the key number for him. If he gets you over 20 points, he's going to score 40 fantasy points. Okay? That's kind of the thing for him. He's been very, very consistent in the peripheral category. You know, 6-plus rebounds, 6 assists, regularly a block or steal. You know, not a ton of blocks and steals, but he'll probably get one of each every game. So Horford versus Indiana, very, very good spot. I think he's a great... There is some ways to spend down at center, no doubt about it. But I think if you want to do Horford, he is one of the most comfortable, projectable grout type plays on the board for me at that price and that matchup. I love it. That price, that matchup, I love it. Jokic versus OKC is interesting to me. With no Steven Adams, I'm very interested to see. I would not be surprised if you see Jokic come out and do a 15-15 night. I think he's an interesting tournament play. I'm not going to play him in cash because I don't know what the minutes are going to look like. I'm thinking about it because I like the matchup here. I like Dakari Johnson not having to deal with Steven Adams' length and actual size, which should be able to help his rebounding upside. I think he's just way more technical and advanced than a guy like, you know, Johnson. He's going to probably struggle, and he's probably going to get some Carmelo. Like, yeah. Yep. I'll do Jokic against Carmelo. Like, he knows he'll do that against Carmelo. You know, because it's not going to be Jeremy Grant. Like, they're going to have to play some size to deal with him. So we'll see how that goes. I think you could probably look at Nurk, but I just don't think he's going to get over 30 minutes. Like, I want to play Nurk against Cat. Like, he had some massive games against Minnesota last year. He's only played a couple games over 30 minutes. And I wouldn't be surprised if Stotts continues to just kind of, you know, ease him back into things against Minnesota here. But I'll wait until the price drops. And then when he gets that minutes restriction lifted, we'll play him. Because if he plays 30 minutes and he's only, you know, 6'5", he is a guy who can do a point and a half fantasy points per minute in the right matchup. So let's talk about value here. Let's talk about guys that are below 5.5K. I am interested at the point guard position in the guys in Dallas. If Dennis Smith Jr. right now, probably not going to play. We'll see if he does. I'm not sure. You can definitely do some JJ Barea or some Yogi Ferrell. Yogi actually got more minutes. I think they're trying to keep JJ's minutes in check. So I think that that's definitely somewhere that you could go. By the way, I mean, we still have an opportunity with Milos Teodosic. He just hasn't exploded yet, and I know he's going to. I'm not playing any of those point guards on the Suns. I don't trust the rotation there. It concerns me. I think that that's about it. I would look at the Dallas guys, but I think I'm probably going to be spending up in the mid-range here for my point guards, if not paying for Russ tonight. At shooting guard, I think you start with a guy like Deion Waiters, who's kind of on the fringe at 5,800, but I like this spot against Atlanta. They've been terrible against the shooting guard recently and very bad against wings. KCP at 5,400, yes, he's in play. Wesley Matthews, though, at 4,800, he is definitely in play. Without Dennis Smith out there, he's actually been taking more shots. Now, the problem with Wes is that he is 45 years old, and as a result, he has a massively wide range of outcomes. 10 points, you know, 30 points, I have no idea what you're going to get from him. But I think you can, you know, most nights you can say he's going to get you 20, and he is under 5K, so he is very interesting to me. Wayne Ellington has been playing well, but unless there's any more injury news that we get from the Heat, you really need him to get 30 minutes and have the green light to shoot at will. So he's not necessarily someone that I'm going to. Troy Daniels is the last guy that I will look at, by the way. Troy Daniels, 3,600. He has gotten, don't be fooled by the 38-point performance by Toronto. I mean, let's be, that's craziness. That's an outlier. What is not really crazy is the fact that he's gotten over 20, more than 24 minutes in all of his last four performances. So as soon as Booker went down, Daniels has not had less than 24 minutes. And it really does seem like he is one of the most talented scorers that they have on this team. At 3,600, you could do worse if you need him. If you need a punt, I think he's an interesting spot. Josh Richardson at small forward is definitely where I'm going to start. By the way, I mean, you could go 6K. I didn't talk about him, but Courtney Lee, very interesting at Charlotte. They struggle with the small forward position. But I do like Josh Richardson against Atlanta. He has been someone that has emerged with no James Johnson and no Hassan Whiteside. He's adding a couple extra rebounds. He had a little bit of a scoring burst on Friday against the Clippers. He's playing phenomenally well. And that's the thing, is this guy can score. I just think that they've kind of put him on the back burner to feed other mouths. Other people are kind of taking advantage of the fact that he is just kind of a 3-and-D. But he's more than that. He's talented. So he has been a guy that I'm interested in. I think this is a great spot for him. Similarly, David Nwaba, he's getting 30 minutes at the 3. He's been fine. He's not a guy I'm rushing to roster. I would much prefer Omri Caspi at 4,500. I think this is a great spot for Omri Caspi to be quietly one of the most valuable pieces on the Warriors. But Steve Kerr's rotations are a thing. They are a thing. Be careful. Be careful what you wish for there. Without Mo Harkless playing, Evan Turner has been getting extra run, but I don't want to do that. Do you want to do that? No. No, you don't. I think the Doug McDermott show is over, but he's still getting run. Charlotte's very easy to attack at the 3. We had a couple games where he was getting over 20 points, but it's just not really anything that's worth it anymore. So that is probably the lowest that I will go in this situation there at that $3,600, but probably closer to $4,500 as far as value small forwards go. At power forward, Bobby Portis, still very interesting. He's going to be a must-have if he really is going to be a must-have if you have a situation where Markkanen is out. You have to play him. You have to. He's been phenomenal. He's just been really, really, really effective. against a backup center unit in this game. You love this spot for him. I mean, the guy has been super active, shown a really, really solid floor when he gets over 25 minutes. So I like that. I mentioned the Lakers guys. I have no problem with the Lakers guys either. Trey Lyles continues to get good run. He helped me on Friday night in a massive way. I love Maxi Kleber and Jordan Bell. Those are two guys that I'm in love with tonight. Maxi Kleber, man, now, I don't love the fact that there are a couple games where he played poorly, but Phoenix is not a place. This is a game where he can score. And he can, and when he can score, he will do it. And that's what you like. You see these games where he pops for over 10, 15 points. And I think people, I don't know how many people know that he's been getting over 25 minutes on a nightly basis. I mean, in his last four, 30 plus minutes, he has been playing the four with no, without any Nerlens out there. He's been playing the four and he's been getting a ton of runs. So I like this spot. You get 30 minutes in the front court against Phoenix. I think you're in a good position. Of course, Jordan Bell is in a great spot, and I think a million people will play him, so you can play him too. Why not? Why wouldn't you? At the center position, it's all Rashawn Holmes, baby. Robin Lopez is in a good spot here too, by the way. You play centers against Philadelphia when Joel Embiid is not there, and Robin Lopez in a plus matchup is where you want to be. He had a great matchup in Milwaukee, and we talked about him on the Friday show. He did great. He was right there. 30 fantasy points. That's right where you want him to be, just above 5X. It was a great performance. You know, plus matchup in Indiana, 24 fantasy points. Cleveland, plus matchup. Sacramento, plus matchup, 29 in those games. So, you know, you know if he has a good matchup, a good situation, he's going to take advantage of it. He's going to take advantage of it, and I think Rolo is in a good spot, especially if Markkanen doesn't play. If Markkanen plays, I think we have to kind of tread lightly with the Bulls front court and just see what it is that boy genius Fred Hoiberg does. And I use that boy genius phrase wholly and completely sarcastically. obviously, Ekpe Udo, man. Yeah, Ekpe Udo. Man got, you know, he scored 48 fantasy points and didn't even score 10 real-life points. He had 6 blocks. You kidding me? Like, come on now. We got to love that. He's a defensive monster. He's Rudy Gobert 2.0. I love this spot for him. I think that even if he only, if he gets those 30 minutes and he, even if he gets those 30 minutes and he doesn't, you know, play like he did against Cleveland, this is a great spot for him against Houston. Now, the one concern that I have is that if Houston doesn't have Capella, they could make Udo virtually worthless because they could just play a bunch of stretchy guys, in which case they're probably going to have to play like Cephalosha and Joe Johnson, because you realize, like, if you have Ryan Anderson, James Harden, if you have Ryan Anderson at the five, Trevor Reeves at the four, Eric Gordon, James Harden, and Chris Paul, they can play that lineup. It has enough size. Okay. And Udo is not offensively talented enough as a role man that you necessarily would say, like, oh man, you can't play. You have to have somebody to guard Udo. What? No, you don't have to have somebody to guard Udo. Like, you can stick Ryan Anderson on him with help defense and just make sure he doesn't get, you know, get the ball on the roll and you're fine. And then you have these stretchy liability situations. Anyway, that's enough about we're talking about Ekpe Udo as a value play. Rashawn Holmes as a value play. All right, that's enough. I'm done. That's it for me, guys. Let's go over to FanDuel, throw together a quick lineup. Okay, wait, I already did it. here's the single stud roster that I'm interested in. All right, here's a single stud roster. Kevin Durant at the middle. Josh Richardson. Maxi Kleber and Jordan Bell. Those are two of my value plays. Wesley Johnson, I have no problem. Wesley Matthews, I have no problem with him at 4,800 against Phoenix. Okay. Rashawn Holmes at center. 4,500 is just, that's a great price, and that's why I want to be there. Friend of the pod, Rashawn Holmes. Point guard, I have Kemba and Dame. So this is a really nice little roster. It's Kemba, Dame, Wesley Matthews, Donovan Mitchell. Kevin Durant, Josh Richardson, Maxi Kleber, Jordan Bell, Rashawn Holmes. Now, of course, I could go a little bit more balanced here with a couple things. Let's say I pull out, Damian Lillard. Let's say I pull out Donovan Mitchell and Wesley Matthews. I have just about 7K at all my shooting guard positions, which is actually a pretty nice number considering how the slate breaks out. Okay, so I could go to my point guard two. I could definitely have a guy. I could do a Chris Dunn. Okay, and then I have 6,700 at both of my shooting guard positions, which, you know, you put in a guy like a... you know, you could do a Dion Waiters and a, you could do Dion Waiters and Donovan Mitchell, you know. You can even, by the way, with this lineup, actually, let me see if you can get Russ in here. You can get Russ, yeah, I mean, you can fit Russ in this lineup too. You can fit Russ and Kemba in this lineup, which I said you couldn't do, but you actually can. You just have to find some shooting guards that you like, which is kind of dicey. Kind of dicey, okay? Yeah, I mean, the shooting guards below 4,800 is a little rough. I mean, you got Wesley Matthews. It'd be nice to be able to play Justin Holiday, but the minutes have been up and down recently, although he played a lot of minutes in that Milwaukee game. I just don't know why he didn't play any minutes in that Utah or Boston game. But I guess you could do that. I mean, you could do, this is an interesting two-stud lineup. Kemba, Russ, Justin Holiday, Wesley Matthews, Kevin Durant, Josh Richardson, Maxi Kleber, Jordan Bell, Rashawn Holmes. Now, of course, you can also get off of Russ in this situation. And you can play, you know, Chris Dunn, and then you could upgrade Rashawn Holmes to Al Horford. And then you have 5,500 at your shooting guard two, which is KCP. So that's an interesting Kemba Walker, Chris Dunn, KCP, Wesley Matthews, the rest of the guys, and Al Horford. So you can do two studs. You can do one stud. Depends on how you want to build tonight. But they're definitely both options available. I'll probably run a little bit of both. I've been running, you know, a couple lineups here on a nightly basis. Trying to, you know, just kind of get my exposures a little bit more balanced. But that's it for me, guys. Hey, good luck in your contest. We will see you tomorrow. And patreon.com/lineuplogic.